Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. So the Vols lose against West Virginia, but we mentioned last week that that loss actually helps you evaluate certain talent across the roster that a cupcake game would not allow you to do. But in Saturday's victory over ETSU, the running back group, Chad, got a lot of work.
Well, and Austin, it's tough to, you know, you look at a game against ETSU and you try to get the takeaways from it. I'm looking less at amount of yards and more at style of how guys play against inferior competition. And I really like the way Jeremy Banks runs the football, and I'm pretty sure that his coaching staff likes it as well. What was your biggest takeaway from Jeremy Banks in that game?
Well, I think they love the mentality, and you're right. I mean, I think that he brings back an old-school type running back feel. He looks for, you know, to hit the opponent, and then really, like a couple of times, I think could have added, you know, 15 or 20 extra yards and instead decided, nah, let's go run this guy over. And, you know, he likes contact. And, you know, Trey Smith, I asked him earlier today, I said, when you watch him run, do you see the same mentality you have from the offensive line spot with him at running back? And he said yes. And it said watching him run makes him want to finish blocks more. I mean, just even the passion that he runs with. So, you know, Banks brings a lot. And I think if he's not already past Madre London on the depth chart, he's closing in on him.
Austin Price with VolQuest.com here on the Midday 180, our VolQuest report. Austin, give us just one or two takeaways from the matchup against ETSU, what you walked away from thinking about from Neyland Stadium and what you saw.
Well, I take three things away from the game. I take that Tennessee's offensive line is still not very good. They got to figure a combination out and figure it out in a hurry because the SEC starts in 2 weeks, a little less than 2 weeks. Tennessee still can't get to the quarterback. That's a huge problem. And the one, you know, I think small step in the right direction that I saw at Tennessee, and don't get me wrong, I get it at CTSU, but a year ago, it didn't matter if, you know, the three of us, four of us, me, you, Paul, and Chad rolled out there, Jonathan, we were going to move it between the 20s and maybe get a field goal. I mean, you know, they did not allow ETSU to cross the midfield, but one time in the first half, that was the last drive of the first half. And then Tennessee had a lot of backups in the second half and still only allowed three. That's probably the one thing that impressed me most. I mean, still the defense has plenty of things to work on, plenty of things to get better at. But when you look at where they were a year ago and where they were this past week, just against a team that you're supposed to beat 59-3, Tennessee went out and beat them 59-3.
Did you see enough of Keller Crist?
Yeah, 3 for 3. I mean, you know, man, is it a competition, boys?
No, not saying a competition. We know who the quarterback is, but I'm thinking Chris is going to play because Garantano is going to get hurt.
I don't know. I think JG's he's a tough kid, and you're right. I mean, anybody can get hurt on any given play, but you know, I think the kid's got some moxie. I think Chris shows enough to be able to come in and help this team. I think they want to get, you know, the young quarterback JT Shrout some run, maybe even this week against UTEP. You know, the new redshirt rule it affords you that luxury. And I'll be surprised if Tennessee gets a comfortable lead that if you don't see number 12 at some point on Saturday.
Two newcomers I want to ask you about that really shined on Saturday. Bryce Thompson, I thought after a rough going against West Virginia, showed some playmaking ability that Tennessee's lacked in the secondary in recent years. And Emmett Gooden, I thought, had a really good day. What did you make of those two guys, and how much did they help themselves moving forward?
I think they helped themselves immensely, and Coach Pruitt talked about it afterwards. Just Bryce came back after a less than stellar performance against West Virginia and went to work. And instead of, like, you know, trying to, you know, take baby steps, he tried to jump straight in the deep end. He wants to compete daily and wants to be really good. That's something that the coaches took notice in. They gave him the start, and he rewarded them with, you know, a couple different pass breakups, some help in the run game as far as his tackling, and then, of course, the one interception, which was, you know, just good awareness and on a tip ball drill. And, you know, I think, you know, going into the season, I thought Alante Taylor was, you know, going to be a real, real playmaker at corner, and I still think that. But I think Tennessee got themselves a real steal late in the game in May to get a guy that, you know, was not able to sign with South Carolina from Irmo, which, I mean, like, Irmo to Columbia is like Farragut to Knoxville. So, I mean, like, you know, it's that close. And, you know, I think that, you know, Tennessee got themselves a steal in Bryce Thompson. And then Emmett Gooden, they've got to continue to get him more and more reps because he showed Saturday 8 tackles, 3 for loss with a sack. He can be very disruptive. And they've got to find somebody that can get to the quarterback. Maybe big number 93 from Haywood County can be that guy.
So Pruitt's first game in Neyland Stadium is his first win as a head coach for Tennessee, and an easy one. He looked angry at halftime in the halftime interview. He was certainly angry after the game, after a 59-3 win. And I know, Austin, he said, the more that we win around here, expect me to get angry and angrier because we're going to play to a different standard other than just wins and losses. And he wasn't all that happy with his team after the game. What did you make after we talked about his post-game press conference performance and being calm against West Virginia? What did you make of him after the game on Saturday night?
Well, I mean, I think he knew that West Virginia is a good football team, so it was kind of time to, you know, put the kid gloves on a little bit and, you know, point out the positives and not just annihilate, you know, all the negatives. And so Saturday, you won 59-3. You don't want anybody feeling good about themselves after that. You want them, you know, to be back on their heels and ready to go to work on Monday. And so, you know, he was hot after JG coming off the field for the rain delay. And, you know, they came out with a different mentality on offense. They played much better. They scored in all three facets of the game. And that's probably the one biggest takeaway. Actually, you asked me for three takeaways. I thought the special teams would take a hit just because Butch Jones and them spent so much time on it. They were good at it. I'm not sure they've spent a ton of time on it with this current staff. I mean, they spend time on it, but it's not like, you know, Butch and them spent a lot of time on special teams. But, you know, they've not really missed a beat with the punting. They get a block punt for a touchdown. And so special teams for 2 weeks, I think, has been really, really solid.
Austin, is there a record that you know of for most consecutive games stopped due to weather?
No, but I'm hoping you continue that on next Sunday with the Titans.
We'll be in Jacksonville in 2 weeks. I'm sure it'll happen then.
You know, I mean, it is quite bizarre. You know, of course, you just kind of get that. It's humid. It's late in the afternoon. You get these pop-up thunderstorms that roll in. And, you know, last week it worked to Tennessee's detriment. This week it worked to Tennessee's advantage because they were able to make some adjustments and come back out. And they did look like a much different team after the lightning delay than they were before it.
So Tennessee and Florida in 2 weeks. I know we're going to talk to you about UTEP and preview that game on Friday. Tennessee's a 29.5-point favorite against UTEP. And then the real season starts when Florida comes to town. It'll be either 6 or 6:30 Central Time. My buddy sent me a text that it's going to look like that scene in Temple of Doom where everyone's waving their arms in the air by 6:30 in Knoxville for that Florida game. After Florida loses to Kentucky this weekend, it's still very early, Austin, but when you look up and down that SEC East outside of Georgia, what do you think? It seems like a lot of teams that aren't really separating themselves at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia's the class of the East, and I think everybody else is fighting for that 2 spot, and honestly could see anybody in the East being the number 2. You know, I look at Tennessee's schedule, not counting Georgia, Alabama, or Auburn, because, I mean, those are all like top 6 teams. I think Tennessee's toughest game remaining is Missouri, just because of the matchup with Drew Locke. And, my compadre Jesse Simonton at Balkwest noted to me last night on the phone, this game all of a sudden got ratcheted up tenfold with the pressure for both sides because, you know, after Kentucky beat Florida, now Tennessee fans definitely expect Jeremy Pruitt and company to beat Florida. And then if Tennessee wins, then Dan Mullen's going to be 0-2 in this league to start off his career, and the people in Gainesville will not be liking that very much at all.
Follow Austin on Twitter, @AustinPriceless. Have a good week, man. We'll catch up with you on Friday.
Appreciate it, guys.